morning, everyone. How are you? Good. Five or six of you doing really well. It's awesome. I think we're good to see all of you. I'm so glad you're here. It's good to see your face. Good to see, hear your voice. Now, you guys were singing loud and proud this morning. It's always good to be together in the room. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but if it's your first time to kind of venture back out into the public worship space, welcome back to church. Well, glad to have you guys back. And thank you. We want to be safe and precautious. We know that. Those of you watching online, we are glad. Can we just let them hear our voices online? We got people watching all over the world right now. Yes. I think we had about 5 countries online a while ago, about 35 different states have tuned in right now. So we're glad if you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube or newlifechurch.org. So grateful you joined us. And I have a big announcement. Next Sunday, we're going to have our first water baptism of the year next Sunday here in the 9 and 11. And so many of you have told me that you're ready to take the next step. And we have followed all the safety protocols. It'll be 1/2 water and 1/2 chlorine, okay? It'll be, you don't want to stay in there too long, but it will be super safe. Actually, we've gone through a lot of research, and other churches have figured out how to do water baptism and stay safe, and we're going to follow all those protocols. So if you want to be water baptized, next Sunday, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., we have water baptismal tanks in the floor here. It's going to be a giant, massive celebration. Bring a change of clothes. We'll have a t-shirt for you. We'll have towels for you. It's going to be a great Sunday. Sign up online. Let us know that you're coming, or just show up. We're not going to turn anybody away from the water baptism next Sunday, I promise you, all right? That's good news. I'm glad we can finally get back to doing some of those things, and glad that you are ready to do it. All right, turn in your Bible. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. When we started teaching through the book of Revelation, I had several people email me or walk up to me and said, Pastor, we're so grateful you're preaching through the book of Revelation because now we'll know when Jesus is coming back. So I'm sorry to disappoint you, okay? But Matthew 24 tells us that Jesus himself does not know when he's coming back. Do you know that? Do you know that's actually in the Bible? They asked Jesus the same question you're asking me. And Jesus looked at them and said, only the Father in heaven knows the time of his return. Not myself, not even the angels know when I'm returning. So we don't know when. And Revelation was not written to tell us when he's going to return. There are some things that we should look for. It certainly paints a picture of some signs that we should pay attention to. But the primary reason of Revelation was not to tell us when. So other people have asked, well, Pastor Brady, then how will he return? That's a good question. But the Nicene Creed, the early church fathers, answered that conclusively for us. Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. So this is how he will return. He's coming in glory. He's coming to make all things right. He's coming to fix a broken world, and he will come in great glory. He'll appear and return and make all things right. That's the how. So those are two good questions. But the real question that the book of Revelation is supposed to answer is not when or not how necessarily, but why is he returning? Why is Jesus wanting to come back? Why is he going to come back? Why does he want, what does he want to do when he gets here? He's coming to find his bride. He's coming to restore his bride. He's coming to erase sin. There will be no more tears, no more death, no more sickness, no more hunger, no more thirst, no more prisons. That's all going to be wiped away. That's why Jesus is coming back. So the book of Revelation, just to remind you, is an apocalypse. That word means to reveal, to show us, to uncover, to pull back the door a bit and show us what's been happening all along. The book of Revelation is an apocalypse, not an almanac. It's not so much a book of predictions, but a book of bold and powerful and supernatural proclamations. Think just for a minute who this book was written to. John is on a prison island separated from 7 churches that he had responsibility for. And these churches were being persecuted. They were being put in prison. They had their property taken from them. They were being marginalized, reduced to criminals in some ways, and John's heart was broken that he could no longer go to these 7 congregations and love them and encourage them, and he knew that they were discouraged. He knew that they were heartbroken. So this book of Revelation was sent back to them as a way to remind them that, yes, they were going through a tribulation. They were going through the worst days of their life, but God was coming to their rescue. So if this book doesn't make sense to first century people in Turkey, it doesn't make sense to us. It was written to them. It was written to a really, really, really disgruntled group of people who had found their hearts broken. So not everything in Revelation is intended to be explained and understood. Now, I know Americans, we want everything explained to us. We need to understand it all of it decodified. We need all the mysteries revealed to us. That's, the Bible is going to really disappoint you if you need all of it to be explained to you, because the book is meant to cause us to come to wonder. It's meant to awaken us to wonder. It's meant to make your heart come alive again, to see God in a fresh, new way. Okay, turn to the book of Revelation now. We're about to open the seventh seal. There were seven seals, and so the seventh seal is about to be opened, and it has something remarkable to show us today. Revelation 8, chapter 1, let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we read these scriptures, would you do exactly what we just described? Would you awaken our hearts today? Lord, would you drive out discouragement and discontent, and would you replace it with wonder and hope? Would you give your people eyes to see today? Would you give me holy, prophetic imagination to hear these words? Though you said, blessed are those who hear these words, who receive these words. So, Father, today, would you give us eyes and ears to hear and receive, to believe, and to follow you with a new zeal, a new passion, a new fervor. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Revelation 8, we're going to read five verses here, and then we're going to come back and read more later on. But let's look at these first five verses. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence. Listen to this. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. This is the only time in the Bible that we hear that silence came to heaven. Every other description of heaven in the scriptures shows worship and noises, but this is one of the few times that we hear silence, silence. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. So seven angels, seven trumpets, and silence. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. And the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. So think about big pillars of smoke, big plumes of smoke coming to heaven, filling heaven. All right, this is what happened. In fact, this morning, I just got to tell you this. This morning, I put on some tenderloin, some pork tenderloin on my smoker. And as I was leaving my house this morning, my entire back deck was covered in a thick white smoke. And I felt like it was the Lord giving me a prophetic picture for what I was going to preach on today. Now I'm hungry. Now I'm thinking about pork tenderloin, but it will be ready when I get home, full of smoke. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar, and he hurled it on the earth. Look at this picture that John sees. John sees activity where he takes the prayers of the people, fills it with fire, and then hurls it back on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. No more silence. The silence was over, and thunder comes to the earth. Now listen to this. He's writing this to seven churches who were discouraged. These Christians had no right to vote. They had no voting rights. All of that had been stripped from them. They had no weapons to defend themselves against the greatest military power in the world had dominated them. The Romans had dominated and taken all their property and overtaxed them. Yet they did not panic and run. Why? Why did that happen? Because they knew how to pray. In fact, one of the ways that Christians maintained their witness during this time was that they never panicked. The more they got persecuted, the more peace they had. The more they were intimidated and threatened, the more love came out of them. The more the Romans tried to quiet them, the louder their voices became. They could not be silenced, and they could not be defeated by the normal things that the Romans used to defeat other people. If you crucified their Savior, we just came out of the tomb 3 days later. They didn't know what to do with these Christians. We killed their God. We killed their ambassador. We killed the guy who was here to rescue him, and we can't put him to death. He comes out of the grave. They're talking about a resurrection. This is what was happening in this group. They knew how to pray. They knew how to intercede. So we're going to see two types of prayers here. We're going to see this first type of prayer is intercession, where a group of people are lifting their voices, calling on God to solve the problems on the earth. And then suddenly we see 30 minutes of silence. So why do you think we see 30 minutes of silence here? Now, every mom in the room, wouldn't you love to have this superpower at home? Once a day, what if God granted you one 30-minute speck of silence every day in your house? This would be the greatest superpower of all times. Silence! And everything goes quiet in your house. This is what happened in heaven. So remember, Revelation starts with prayers, elders, 24 elders, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, trumpets, noise, powerful worship, and suddenly God says, silence. Why do you think Father in heaven calls for silence in this moment? Here's what I believe. I believe the world is a mob right now, and it was a mob back then, where everyone is talking and very few people are listening. God not only speaks to us, listen very carefully, God not only speaks to us, but he listens to us. See, I believe in this moment, Father in heaven is sitting there, and the angel comes before him with the prayers of the people. Father in heaven says, I want everybody to be quiet, silence. I want to hear the prayers of moms and dads calling for the prodigal to come home. I want to hear the prayers of grandmothers praying over her grandchildren. I want to hear the prayers of children calling out for food around the world. This week I met with a lady from Guatemala. She got into our country, and she represents the ministry that we support outside Guatemala City, where literally hundreds of the poorest children in Guatemala come to the school that we support, that we run. And so before COVID, they were getting breakfast, a morning snack, a lunch, and an afternoon snack before they were sent home. But now all the schools are closed. And she came and sat in my office, and she said, Pastor Brady, the kids are hungry. They're hungry. And so we're putting together a food packing project right now that will send them enough food, listen to this, 3 meals a day for every child for an entire year. That's what we're going to be doing as a church. Well, how does that happen? How does that happen? Because I believe God heard the prayers of little Spanish-speaking voices. Father in heaven, Abba, I'm hungry. Please send us food. Those are the prayers that went to heaven like a mist, like a cloud. And God in heaven hears those prayers, and he says, wealthy church in Briargate, feed my kids. And this is what happens. This is why our prayers are so critically important. I don't know if you know this or not, but every prayer you've ever prayed, no matter how feeble, how weak, how faithless your prayers were, every prayer you have ever prayed has been heard in heaven. And the distinctive feature of Christian prayer is the certainty of being heard. I don't know if you know this or not, but your prayers matter, your prayers are important, and your prayers are heard. Revelation 8 shows us this. The Father in heaven takes such interest in our prayers that he's willing to silence the worship to hear your prayers. And Revelation, go back to verse 4. Revelation 8, verse 4, it says, the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar, hurled it on the earth. So he responds by throwing things down. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. The prayers which had ascended into heaven returned to the earth with great force. It's almost like heaven launches a prayer bomb here. And it was not all powerful prayers. It wasn't perfect prayers, but he heard those prayers. And then the Spirit went to work. The prayers of the people combined with the power of heaven, released back to the earth. I hope you never, ever forget the picture I'm showing you here about your prayers. Your voice, your words lifted to heaven, combined with the resurrection power of Christ, released back to the earth. God always hears the cries of his people. especially those who are persecuted, especially those who are hungry, especially those who are in prison, especially those who are given their lives for the gospel. Father in heaven hears their prayers. And so many times we find ourselves weak and weary. I don't know about you, but I have found myself a bit weak and weary with no words to pray these last 7 or 8 months. But even then, the Spirit is present helping us pray. I was, when Pam and I first got married, we moved to Shreveport, Louisiana, and our first pastor was a guy named Rodney Duran. He was just the sweetest elderly. He was at the end of his pastoral career. He was in his early 70s at the time, and he was just a father. He would give you these massive, he had big hands. He was an athlete when he was younger, and he would just put his arms around you. He was a shepherd. He would hug you and just look you right in the eye and believe every word you said. He cared deeply about his people, but I remember hearing him pray. When he prayed, oh my goodness, the scriptures would flow out of him. It was like poetry. It was these powerful, passionate, sincere prayers. And I'm a 22-year-old, newly married college graduate sitting out in the congregation listening to this giant of the faith pray these prayers. And I would think, I can never pray like that. One day, maybe, if I go 40 years without sinning, maybe at some point I can have those kinds of prayers. But the bar was set so high that honestly, a lot of you have heard people pray like that, and you wonder, well, I can't pray. Maybe it's their prayers that God's hearing. Maybe it's those perfect, poetic, passionate prayers. Those are the ones God really pays attention to, right? You know, the people that yell a lot. Doesn't the volume of your voice determine the amount of that God hears us? Then the Lord, when I was a young man, took me to Romans 8, and he showed me the power of intercession and how intercession really works. And he says, in the same way, Romans 8, verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. There are days when I know I need to be praying. I know I can see the big topics, but I don't know specifically how to pray. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit is involved in your prayers. I don't know if you know this, but Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all three are very interested in your prayer life. And it says that Spirit himself intercedes for us through, listen to this, not poetry, not perfection, but sometimes it feels like wordless groans, grunting, ugh. That's what the language here is about, a people that don't get it perfect, but they have a heart of sincerity. And he, listen to this, verse 27, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So let me just make it very simple. God's looking for good-hearted people who have a mustard seed of faith who will lift their voice in intercession for our world right now. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for voices, good-hearted people who throughout the day, when they hear of something going on in their neighborhood, when they see things going on in our national landscape, he's just looking for someone to pause in that moment and say, Father in heaven, I don't know what to pray for. I don't see everything clearly. And I'm not sure the words that I need right now, but Father, I know your Spirit knows this. I know your Spirit understands the seriousness of this moment. So Father, by your Spirit, would you move on behalf of our nation? Would you move on behalf of my family? Would you come into my neighborhood? Would you invade our city? Holy Spirit, you know what needs to happen. Come, Holy Spirit. This is the power of intercession. And Revelation chapter 8 tells us those prayers lift like fog, like smoke, like billows into heaven. And Father in heaven looks at those prayers. He accumulates them all together. He adds fire to them, and he sends them back to the earth with great authority. This is also the moment in Revelation. Go down to verse 7. I want you to show you something else. Because John is showing us intercession. But then he shows us the need for another type of prayer. The first type of prayer we see very clearly in verse 5. We need to know how to intercede, intercession. There's another type of prayer that John introduces us to and shows us the need for in 7, 8, and 9, and it's the prayer of confession. Look at verse 7. He says, the first angel sounded his trumpet. Remember, there were seven angels, seven trumpets. The first angel picks up his instrument, and there came, listen to what happened. See if you can see any of this happening on the earth right now. And there came hail and fire mixed with blood. Let me ask you, the three biggest events happening in our nation right now are hurricanes, fires, and violence. Are we not seeing this right now played out in front of us? So three big things happening. We have hurricanes coming, it seems like every 2 weeks, hitting some part of our nation right now, hail and rain. We see places burning all over the West Coast. So one end of our nation assaulted by hurricane forces, the other side of our nation right now being burned. And we see all throughout the streets of our nation right now, violence. And it was hurled down on the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. And then a second angel picks up his instrument, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. This is a result of our collective sins. So this is not a mad God judging the earth. Listen very carefully. God is not mad at any of you. He's not mad at me. He's not mad at you. So this is not a result of an angry God trying to inflict punishment on people. This is not what John's saying. John is saying that the world is a mess, not because of an angry God, but because of a sinful people. We're the ones who have messed this up, John says. We're the ones who have brought this on ourselves. But there is a solution. This is why Revelation was written, to show us how destructive our sin has become, but to leave us with impenetrable hope for the future. The world right now needs major surgery. Can somebody say amen? It needs major surgery and serious pruning, which can only happen when entire systems are uprooted and replanted. It seems like everything is being uprooted. A lot of systems are being replanted. I don't know if you know this about me, but I've had three major heart surgeries, one when I was a baby, another when I was 4 years old, and another one in 2011. So I was born with congenital heart problems called tetralogy of Fallot. And so when I was a baby, I was rescued through a miraculous surgery. I should not have lived. And then at 4 years old, I had another miraculous surgery that allowed me to live. Not to be Captain Obvious, but I survived all three surgeries, in case you didn't know that. And in 2011, I had another of the pulmonary valve replaced. I remember in 2011 when I was going through this surgery, and the doctor, I'll never forget the phone call. The doctor is a member of our church. He said, "Pastor Brady, I've looked at your report, and you need surgery, and you need it pretty soon." I just remember I was in my office when he called me. He goes, "Pastor Brady, you need surgery." And I said, "Well, tell me what this means." And he said, "The surgery will be several hours, but it's going to be 10 weeks of you being home and in recovery." 10 weeks for a type A personality that doesn't know how to sit still. 10 weeks of sitting on a couch. 10 weeks. He said, "Brady, and I want you to commit to 10 weeks of rest." He said, "If you'll commit to this surgery," listen very carefully, "if you'll commit to the surgery and commit to the rest, it will mean decades of fruitfulness for you and your family." This is what's happening in the world right now. This is what John's showing us. Surgery needs to happen. Repentance needs to happen. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord and admit that the world is a mess, not because of an angry God, but because of a disobedient people. So how do we solve that? One way that people are trying to solve it is to stand and yell at the darkness. We need the darkness to go away, while forgetting that our primary responsibility is to take responsibility for ourselves. Sometimes the reason people are yelling at the darkness is they want to distract themselves from the darkness that they know is lurking right underneath their own heart. And for us, let me tell you something. I'm going to teach you a very simple little prayer here in just a moment, that I believe that if we begin praying this prayer for ourselves and for our home, as for me and my house, we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to follow the Lord, because I believe we can solve the biggest problems in our world by two types of prayer. I believe God's calling us to be intercessors, and I believe God's calling us to get back to confessing and praying confessional prayers. Intercessional prayers and confessional prayers will change our world. So let me teach you this little prayer. I've been praying this all week long. I've sinned It's an admission that I've not lived up to everything God's asked me to. When was the last time you said, Father in heaven, that was my fault. I'm the one that made the mistake. I'm the one who disobeyed. Those evil forces out there, those other people out there, yes, they're making mistakes too. But Father in heaven, I want to take responsibility for myself. I am the one who has sinned. I am the one who made a mistake. I'm the one who did this. And I can't save myself. I can't fix myself. I don't have enough power to fix myself. So I need grace. I need grace. I need forgiveness. What I'm really saying is, I need you, Jesus. If you will find yourself praying these prayers, all of the violence and the turmoil, everything that you're seeing breaking around us, suddenly what will happen is out of the ashes will emerge this pure-hearted people. Out of the ashes of our world will emerge a church full of the Spirit, full of righteousness, full of grace, and we will become a witness to the watching world of how to fix it. But until we fix ourselves, we can't fix the world. Until we pay attention to our own troubled hearts, we can't solve the troubles that we just read in Revelation 8. Father in heaven calls us to intercession. Father in heaven calls us to confession. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing this song lifted right out of Revelation chapter 8 about incense rising to the earth. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your voices. And you don't have to be loud, you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to be poetic, but you do have to lift your voice. You do have to speak. And I want you to begin to pray over yourself. I want you to begin to pray over whatever is troubling you, whatever is burdening you, whatever the Holy Spirit's pointing. Maybe if you don't know how to pray, pray for the prisoners right now that are watching online. Pray for the DOC officials that just came down to our church. Pray for them. Pray for our nation. Pray for the Supreme Court rule, the judge that's about to go through the worst days of her life to get into the Supreme Court. Pray for her. Pray for our nation. Pray however the Holy Spirit leads you. But can we start by praying for ourselves? I've sinned. I can't fix myself. I need grace. I need forgiveness. And I surrender my life to Jesus. Come on, just begin to lift your voice however you want. Let the incense of this place rise to heaven. Let the prayers of the people begin to rise to heaven. I've sinned. I can't fix myself. I need grace. I need forgiveness. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you. And we call upon the name of the Lord so that we may be saved. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, Father in heaven, we call on the name of the Lord because you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And we lift our voices with the voices of the 24 elders. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Come on, let's sing this song, and in just a moment, Pastor Daniel will come and lead us to the table of the Lord.
All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Sing it to him. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yes, you do. And all the saints and angels bow before your throne to you. And all the elders cast their crowns before you are worthy. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. All glory, all honor, you are worthy. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yes, you deserve the glory. Tell them that today, oh Jesus. You deserve the glory. Every breath, all our hearts, you deserve the glory. Everything we have. Let's sing this together. Day and night, night and day, let incense raise. Day and night, night and day, let incense raise. Day and night, night and day, let incense raise.
You get your communion elements ready to receive. Pastor Brady has walked us through Revelation 8, and we see the seriousness of our collective sins. We see the chaos that it's released on the earth. We see the wars and the rumors of wars and people living, fighting, and at each other's throats. We know the cost of sin, the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus has called us into repentance, into confession. Pastor Brady gave us this simple prayer, I have sinned. Would you just begin to say these things to the Lord? I've sinned. I can't save myself. I need your grace. I need forgiveness, and bottom line, I need Jesus. I grew up singing in my church, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. There's no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he sat with his disciples. And he sits with us today across the table, and he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. I've come to heal you. I've come to make it right. I've come to restore. I will be shattered so you can be put back together. That's what's happening in this moment of encounter with Jesus. So Jesus hands you the bread today, and he looks you in the eyes. He says, every time you do this for the remembrance of me, you may receive from Jesus. On the same night, he took the cup of wine, and he said, this cup is the new covenant, and it's given in my blood, and it's given for the remission of your sins. All the old story is being washed away. I am pouring myself out so that your cup can overflow. This is what Jesus is doing for us today. And so all of your past, all of your old story, all of the shame that the enemy wants to heap on you, today in the presence of Jesus, it's being drowned. It's being washed away, and he's giving you what you need. Jesus gives you the cup today, you may receive from Jesus. Let's sing that old song together, what can wash away my sins? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Come on, church. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is the flow. Come on, sing it. Yeah. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me wild. Sing it again. What can wash away my sins? Would you open your hands? I want to pray the prayer of benediction over you, send you out with the blessing of God. I pray today, may the Lord our God bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his bright, smiling countenance upon you and all your people. And may he grant you peace today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all God's people said. Amen. Can we give God thanks for what he's done here today in the house? Two announcements real quick. First of all, baptism next week. Some of you have heard this today and you've committed your life to Jesus and you know it's time to just say, I'm going after Jesus with everything and Jesus has claimed me, and to enter into the waters of baptism. You can get registered online at newlifechurch.org. And if you want more information on mentoring parolees, you can go out to the info counter and grab that. Go from here today in God's grace and peace. Much love.